is Krabonis. So the famous issue is the Machlokes and the Rabban and the Rambam. I will touch on that, but I want to maybe introduce some other points which are not as well known into the sugya. So the issue is we try to understand exactly what is the idea behind the korban. It is something which we don't really relate to 100%. It's not our world of avodah, serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't sort of picture service as korbanos. It's something which is foreign to our mind. The world of tefillah, that's our form of service, etc. So what is korbanos? So the first piece is a piece from Rav Hirsch, which we grapple with the English translation of the word. Its point is most regrettable that we have no word to really reproduce the idea which lies in the expression korban. The use of the word sacrifice implies that of giving something up that is of value to oneself for the benefit of another, or having it to do with something, having to do without something of value. Ideas which are not entirely absent from the nature of the idea of korban, but are not only absent, but are opposed to it. Okay? The idea of an offering also doesn't translate the idea of korban. Offering means you need something, and I'm making some way. I'm making an offering to you. Presuppose a wish, a desire, a requirement for which is brought, and the part of the one to whom it is brought, which is satisfied by the offering. One cannot get away from the idea of a gift, a present, which Hashem doesn't need anything. The idea of korban is far away from all of this. Never used as a present or a gift. Used exclusively with a reference to man's relationship to God. It can only serve from the meaning which lies in the word, its root, karev. Karav means to approach, to come near, and so to get into a close relationship with somebody. This at once most possibly gives the idea of the object and purpose of akrova as attainment of a higher sphere of life. The idea of being makriv is to come closer to the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, higher sphere of life. It thus rejects both. The idea of a sacrifice, of giving something up, of losing something, because if we're not losing anything, we're gaining. As well as it be a requirement of the one to whom we gets near, which is the makriv as one who has to find what he requires in the korban. It's more the idea that we have a vehicle to use to allow us to become to elevate ourselves and become closer. The makriv desires that something of himself should come into a closer relationship with Hashem. That is what his korban is, and the procedure by which this greater nearness to Hashem is to be achieved is called akrava. It is kibbutz elokim, nearness to Hashem, which is striven for by a korban. Kibbutz elokim yechpatzun, the pasuk says, just kibbutz elokim, which for a Jew is the highest, the only concept of that which is good. It says, kibbutz elokim li toiv, that's what I see as good. I forgot the call.
Oh.
Hi, Matt. We just started. We're on the second page of Hirsch.
All right. Did you ever forget?
I did.
Okay, good.
Then
I got ready.
Right. Okay, thank you. Okay. So, the without which he feels himself to be Bahamois, like an animal, stripped of all which that which raises him into a human being. Okay, which is there in the Psukim in Tilim. So, kibbutz elokim, the value of which is the sole measure for one's own outlook at life, for ascertaining true happiness in life, is just what is made clear to us in the halls of the sanctuary of Hashem. Okay, so this is the Psukim that he's building up. The kibbutz elokim li toiv, the idea of the purpose that korban is the vehicle which allows us to generate kibbutz to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say what the vehicle is. It just says that that's what it does. Okay. Now, that's... So, at least the translation of sacrifice or offering is a horrible translation. One of the challenges you have a lot of times, like, words come with... You know, even when the word, let's say, you know, has a denotation and it has a connotation, right? Even the denotation is right, but the connotation is wrong. It's still a problem. You know, the word malacha, translating the word malacha is work. So then you then assume that the whatever the word malacha means is whatever work means. That's not true, because work is, the word malacha is a very specific usage. And work has its own connotations. Recently, I this is just, excuse me for my tirade, the word, translating the word kidneys as legumes drives me batty. That's not what the word kidneys means. It doesn't mean legumes.
Vegetables.
Right? The Rama says the definition of kidneys is very simple. He says that when you talk about eating, when we, you know, it, there's the fruits which grow on trees. And then there's the fruits which grow up from the ground. So there's two ways we eat them. We eat them, either we eat the fruit itself, the item itself, that's you call your ruckus. You eat the yarruk, eat the vegetable itself, or the ones which we don't eat the vegetable itself, but we eat the seed of the vegetable. Right? So I don't eat the whole corn, I eat the seed of the corn.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't eat the whole pea, the whole plant, I just eat the seed of the pea, or the root of something, etc. So I'm eating part of it, not eating the whole item. So those things, the Rama says, when the Chazal used the word kidney, that's what they meant. That's the opposite of your, it's the other type of the item. There's your urochus and there's kidneys. So any plant which grows like that, which I eat the seed of it, is called kidneys. That's the definition of the word. So no legumes. Legumes are such a thing. But corn is also such a thing. So is rice. Well, they're not legumes, but they're a plant which you eat the seed of it. End of conversation. Very simple definition. Right? I don't know how you say that in English, but you know, somebody tried to save some space and write the word legumes. It's a creepy way of saying it. And now I'm stuck with, why is there a problem eating rice and Pesach? It's not a legume. Well, because your translation is horrible. That's why you have a question. You know? Okay. Getting back to Kerbonis.
So I didn't eat it.
Because they were Mikabel Xavier's kidneys. But the question, like, you know, somebody's like, you know, mustard is an issue because mustard's not a legume. Yeah, but it's a plant that you use the seed. So, okay, fine. Next piece is a piece from the Maral. So the Maral really talks about the idea of Kerbonis. He touches it in his Sefer Nesivos Olam, in the Siv Yiras Hashem, he talks about it. But here in the Gemaras, which is in the Gaya to Pesach, Karm Pesach, etc., he talks about it. He says the following. So one of the phrases which the Maral uses a lot is the idea of Elah and Olu. Elah is a source, would be like we would call it like a Siba, and a Mesubov is that which is generated from it, is called. So he uses the word Elah as the source, and Olu, that which has been generated from it. The Megaz Elah B'mashu Olul Mimenu Kanosan Hashem Shkinosa Benehem. So the Elah wants this, the source wants to stay connected to that which it generated. So the Bereshit put his presence here. K'moikein Roy Ela Olul Shiyapon Eli Lasa. So that was what was discussed on the previous program. But the other direction is that which has been generated from something feels a natural connection back to where it came from, and it wants to strengthen that connection. So, it means the source is coming to make himself available to what it's generated. So his person is created a vehicle which allows the olul, the creation, to bring himself back to its creator. Okay. Kashat to roitz alam al ikar a carbon ain inyan a carbon rock da reset. That's all it's all it's about. Ki hi kasher ha olul nimsim in a ilo yisparot. Kain Shav El Ilase. The same way we recognize that we came from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we wanted to find a vehicle to bring ourselves back to him. We don't really exist without the source of being. And therefore we're dependent totally on a Kaddish Baruch Hu for existence. So when we come to recognize that, truly recognize that, so we brought ourselves back to our source. As much as I believe that I have independent existence, So I'm not really fully connected back to my source, because I came from somewhere. The parent gives birth to a child. So the child then has an independent existence independent of the parent. So you don't see that there's necessarily a dependency issue, that his existence is because of his source. But by Kadosh Baruch Hu, our existence is only because of the source of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that makes us very much bring ourselves back to our source. V'chakrabas ha-korban, elav yisparach, fishu yisparach ilas ha-kol, elav yashav ha-kol. Therefore, we mark the korban back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. V'nikar korban, ishe lachmi. The korban is referred to as lechem of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avke chalila loy me'el adorim. The Russian doesn't need sustenance. So what exactly are we saying? Okay. Rak, so this is the idea. Ki adam af im lo yechol v'shavi lo v'oichol hayichoser. Right, if a person will not eat, he'd be lacking something. Well, lechem mashlim ad shein chaser dover. So lechem functions as filling a need, filling a void. Okay, probably a better word. There shouldn't be anything missing. Chem is there shakol nimsoim shavi lo. In reality, the only true existence is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And everybody's existence, which seems we perceive it as being independent, in a certain sense, is not true. But in a certain sense, that creates the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really need us. And he exists on a different plane, and in that plane that he exists, whether we exist or don't exist, or whether we perceive ourselves existing or not, is irrelevant. It's irrelevant to him. But at least for vis-a-vis within the relationship which we have with him, as long as our perception is that we have independent existence, in that sense, we are diminishing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Because if we understand the true reality, we only exist because of him. And every moment of our existence is only because of him. So the more we perceive that we have an existence which is not because of him, we're limiting his existence. So in that sense, we've created a chasor in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Korban, by saying that, no, we recognize that we only are here because of you, is giving back that void, that piece which is missing. That's how it's lechem for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Well, Yadash and Nimsoim Haim is Dabra Zalos. So the reality is that we don't really exist. If we really would exist independent, that would be true, then the Barsha would be chaser. The reality is we all go back to his existence. We have no real existence. We're asked to do an act to verify in our reality that that's what it is. Kikasher maybe I love korban mi moment shaloi, but moment kinyanui. V'ushayich aladim. I take something which is mine and I give it back. V'nechad kasher maybe I love a korban mi moment shaloi. That is hashavas olu elilui. Now that we recognize that and we're bringing ourselves back to that existence, to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He now Yehu Yisbarach built the Chaser Dabra. He's no longer lacking anything. So it functions for that purpose for Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. Okay. Now, Vav Agav Shafim Lo Yakir Vahadim Makorban Hu Gam Ken Built the Chaser to say that Barsham really needs this and he's chaser otherwise is false. The reality is we don't exist. It's not really adding anything. So what are we doing? The answer is Marshal Adam Echad Notum Imayim Mehebiyim Liyam. Person took some water and brought it to the sea. V'chihoysev zel yisod amayim, ein zoch tesefes klal, ke yom hu yisod amayim, hu akal, v'dabar prati moysev elo. When we see a person pouring some water into the sea, right? Well, he added water to the sea. I mean, really? You know, we understand that reality is the sea is not more full now because he added. You can't say there's more sea than there was before. The sea is not more full now because he added his 2 pints of water to the sea. But the reality is he did add to the sea. So we can absorb in our mind such a concept that two things which can exist. You can give something to somebody who's not really kosher. So that's what we're doing when we bring a korban. That's how he understands the point of a korban. So the point of a korban is that Baruch Hashem created a vehicle which allows us to give our existence back to Hashem. And that's really what the purpose of a korban is. Now, the next piece is a gorgeous piece. It's very long. It doesn't do justice to it to really skip. I'm going to try and do as much as possible. The piece is from a Sefer Shari Avodah. Shari Avodah was written by the Ben Yonah. So Ben Yonah, besides his pirush on Masechtas Brachos, and besides his pirush on Masechtas Bava Basra, besides the Sefer we have from him in Chumash, there's a Sefer they found from him in Chumash, and besides Shari Tshuva, which is the main thing he's known for, he also wrote a Sefer called Shari Avodah, which a lot of it is about how the person can serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu properly. A lot of it is about tefillah, etc. So in the middle of the conversation about tefillah, he says, let's talk about karbonos. He talks about karbonos, then he goes back to the idea of how they connect back to the tefillah. So he says like this. He starts with explaining a korban nadava. And then he goes from there into a korban which is brought for an aveira. Okay. Okay, Ois Laman Ches. Akre Abira Zed, Noisiv Lavar Oid. Kikashe Yitzo, Huisha Oivid, the Samin Salalas, Ben Jagal, Lidamas, the Malachi, Seve, Amerkova, Lidamak, Belakova, the Vekos Gomorrah. I want to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not a Lahavi, Beis Hashem, a Lakov, Korban. He has an idea, you know what, I'll bring a Korban to Hashem. Vivkal says, Somim, Shein, Ben Mum, he'll choose a very, 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 very choice animal. Ashel, Nasa, Vashem, Avera, La Soysoy, Erlosim. So he's ready to go and bring this korban. V'yala v'yava v'yira l'shtachem es l'Hashem ha'rakadosh b'Yerushalayim come and prostrate himself in front of his creator. El abayis ha'golo b'kadosh nikra shem Hashem tzvokas yoshev ha'kruvim hu ha'makam ha'nivkal ha'vodis ha'bari ha'olam. That's the place which is chosen to the service of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ha'makam she'ed lo p'aynim l'mechavlin kol ha'imnim b'kol ispailim k'o she'bred ha'lamal. Now, Rosham Yira Shom Kvedashkin, he'll come and see the Kvedashkin. Ukveda Terah, Sandra Gdoyla, Malicious Hagazis, he sees the Sanhedrin of Gadol. Kabbat Avoda, Kahanim, Avadosim, Levim, Bashir, Zimram, Isabah, Mamadam. Okay, so he's going to see this tremendous presence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the tremendous Kabbat which is there. It's interesting, Yosefus, when he writes about the Avoda, so he gives a picture, you know, in words of the Avoda. To my mind, he says that there was no talking in the Beis HaMikdash. There was no shmuzing. He didn't shmuz in the Beis HaMikdash. It was total silence. So he says there were hundreds and hundreds of people running around doing their Avoda. Kanan was reading the name, doing Avoda. He said this, you know, total silence. And just like the awe. You take a think about it. Like, you know, there's hundreds of people like running to and fro and doing Avoda, etc. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do. Nobody spoke. A fascinating thing. So you walked in, your mama saw the Kohen Avoda.
Even work-related work speech?
If they had to speak, they spoke, but in general, they knew what they were doing. There was total silence, just out of the awe of the Makom. Right? You imagine, like, the servants working in the presence of the Tsar, they knew what they had to do, and they did it with total respect and total silence. You didn't open your mouth in front of the Tsar, unless you had to. Okay, but you're bein of a nisim niflos and nasim sham tami. You would see all of the nisim which happened there in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, and he brings all the nisim which took place in the Beis Hamikdash, etc. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Kasher hayim istakel He would get this desire to be totally connected to the world of Ruchnius, of Hashem's presence. He doesn't want any barrier between himself and his creator anymore. He would push himself, tremendous desire to be connected with every fiber of his abilities, reach the highest levels as possible. Maybe a loss in the base of Mikdash Bazar, you bring the korban over there. And he would then contemplate how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given to him. He was conceived, Rashi made him develop properly in a tremendous way inside of his mother. The process of birth is overwhelming to picture the reality. The child should come out healthy and safe. There's a tremendous amount which is put into, goes into that. And then Bershom created, he has what to live, develop as a child, he has his food, he has milk, which he has a place to get it from, the right amount of the opening is enough that the child should get enough milk, but shouldn't be strangled, too much is coming out at one time, it would choke the child. He then became the ability to stand on his own two feet. We have intelligence. We're able to stand with an upright stature. Bershom gave us life. He became successful. His life was saved miraculously many times. Does he even realize sometimes how the Bershom intervened to save him? He would sit there and just contemplate all of the goodness of his whole lifetime. He would live 2,000 years. The whole time, he would not be able to repay Kodesh Baruch Hu what the Rishon gave him beforehand. He doesn't have the ability to really serve. He thinks about how much he's received, and he wants to give back, and it's so distant from what he wants to give back and what he's able to do. So he'll start crying, and he'll feel he wishes he could do more. He'll put his hands on the top of the korban. He'll daven to Hashem. And he'll say, "Rebbeinu Olamim, the creator, the master of the world, I want to serve you. I would really serve you with all of my being. Even though that's the most precious thing that I have, I'm ready. I would give my being to you gladly. You don't want that. You want us to live. We have duha behemis will yesh alevav and to serve you properly. V'atu makama hema ruach, and when you accept this thought, v'machshava tahara v'nachana v'shleima b'makama nefesh, you take our desire and our thought as if we gave our being. So you've given me a vehicle and a way to give something back to you. I have so much I want to give to you. K'moshu gulim v'dula v'nachal sh'v'tzarim v'hoyu m'moysim na'afsham. Okay, you're mufanecha, Hashem alakai, velakai, she is that carbon, but become me, medome, mokum domi. Therefore, I want you to take this carbon as if I've given myself. Chelbe, mokum chalbi, besor, mokum besori, batsuis, mokum batsmoisai, mokomashi, yasma, yi, kosher, kalvech, kilanasa, be. Commercial golden, you don't have an echo, Shabritania, you see me, Sadabi, yasabi, kilo, hoyer, senka. If that be your rotten, I would ready to do it immediately. I so much I owe you, so much I want to give to you. If that would be what you want, I would do it. Fine. Fine. Then Bechain Shoshi Rishchten as a carbon lefanav. That would be the vidu that he would say. So I just like try, you know, it is the side of the nisim which are there. He's burden of how much we receive a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The person would have develop this tremendous shuka to give back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They would check. He would just see it as if it's him. He would get so emotional. He would get so emotional. He would just be rivers of tears that the Russian was so nice to him that he gave him a vehicle to give something back. He would praise the Baruch Hu, remember the Baruch Hu. The most valuable thing I have in my life, I'm ready to give that to you. But you chose not to do that, and I should give something instead. It would be nothing. And then he would do it again during the Kabbalah Saddam, and they would bring it to the Mizbeach, and then Shas Azrika, Shas Haktoro. They would do the same thing. Okay. Kashir Mem. Kashir Tala Liba Izoy Samachshava Tahara Bechivan Amiti Tzach Obrura Mevilti Yisum Sig Ve'iru Machshava Acheres. He would have this with purity. Without any other thoughts, he would be bringing himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's considered as if it happened to him. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara says there's something called Machshavas Pigul. If the Oved has the wrong intent, it passes the Korban. The Gemara says like this. That not only if the Kohen has a wrong intent to pass the Korban, the Balaam also has a wrong intent to pass the Korban. What's the Balaam is not the Ovid, he's not doing the Avodah. The Kohen's doing the Avodah.
Right.
He says, but now you understand that the Balaam is totally in wrapped up in what's happening over here. It's him. So it's him. He's the Ovid. So if his Machshava is wrong, it's Machshava's Pigul. Okay? Then he brings this idea, etc. He brings Chazal to Mem Aleph. Hinei be'arnu kavanas akorban nadava al derech she kavanas shal Avraham Avinu alav hashalom bar Maria elo shal Yitzchak Avinu. So how you tachas nafshe kama she be'arnu lemal. So the commander says that when Avraham Avinu was marked of the aisle instead of Yitzchak, he says when he should be counted as if I accepted my son, as if I was kavul dama my son. Each thing he asks, it should be as if that he'd given Yitzchak instead. Says that is the paradigm of how you bring a korban. Okay. When he talks about if a person does a chet, this is so much more so than that. That's how it works. So I just, you know, the then he says, by the way, that's how tefillah is supposed to work also. Right? So a person, now you're saying what the chassidim shalom were doing for an hour before they davened. Right, for an hour before the time, they were just thinking about everything they have in their lifetime and all the chesedim of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then developing this tremendous desire to give back to Hashem. You know, and to the point that if Hashem says he wants my nefesh, Adarav, it'd be my biggest pleasure to give my nefesh. I could give something back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he wants. And the most valuable thing they have in the world is my nefesh. I'd give it gladly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, you know, just one thought which I always had on along these lines over here. Like, one of the questions, you know, is the animal rights, you know. Right?
Oh.
You know. So, the point, our attitude towards an animal is Adarabba, that the animal is a living being. And it's life. And it's valuable to me. And that's why I'm giving it. It's not, you know, I don't care about the life of animals, because if I would, then what's the geshmak and the korban? It's the adarab. It's because it's something which is so precious to me. I appreciate the value of life, even of an animal. The Russian says, I can't give a human life, but an animal life the Russian allowed me to give. So that was a chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He allowed me to take this precious thing called animal life and give it instead. Right. So that's Adarab. You need to appreciate the value. We are animal rights lovers. We love animal rights. We love animals' life. But we know how to, and we appreciate the value of what happens when it's being used. My wife had a different aura, right? He says, imagine if you would have a newspaper reporter there when that comes out of the table. Right? So at this point in time, there's because whether there were 7 cows or 14 cows, it was, you know, with 7 males and females, or 7 total. So he takes all but 2, 1 male and 1 female, and he brings them as a korban on his back. This is an endangered species. There's 14 of them left in the world, right? There's 7 of them left in the world. That's pretty endangered species, you know. You know, I think they define it, you know, if it goes down below 10,000, it's considered an endangered species, you know. Right? And here, this horrible man takes of the remaining 7 cows of the world, he takes 5 of them and he shechs them. Right? That's horrible. Like the newspaper reporter, like this horrible, you know, write-up. Right? Rabbi, you know, Rabbi slaughters the last 5, you know, right? It'd be horrible. Like, what happens? The Baruch Hashem smells the wrath of the korban and promises the world will never be destroyed again. So this is what saved the world. So you know, we have to remember the newspaper reporter's version of it is not the real version.
It's fake news.
What?
It's fake news.
Fake. Right. That's pretty true anyway. The general. Okay. So that is the Ben Yonah. The Ben Yonah was a contemporary of the Ramban. Ramban says this idea that when you see the korban happening, you would see if it's your own being being given over, etc., and that would affect you. Okay. So this first page from the Sefer Torah, there's a lot of pages on the Sefer Torah, a lot there, and I can get to.
You can't offer other things than animals direct for carbon.
Flower.
There's animals, there's birds, and there's lechem mincha, right? That's for an oni. The point of that for an oni is because for an oni, right, in a certain sense, that's his most precious thing that he had. That's life for him. That's his food. That's his bread. And he's taking the most precious thing that he has. So his most precious thing is life. Well, I can't get my life, but take this most precious thing, and the Russian says, I'm giving it to you. So it's if my being was given to you. So the first piece of it is from the Sefer HaChinuch. And he brings the Ramban. The Ramban says this idea only in conjunction with the korban chote. Because when I did an avera, after you think about all of that, and you imagine that you did an avera vis-a-vis Hashem. Like, the feelings of, like, I don't deserve to be here anymore. It's such a chutzpah what I did. I would ready to give back my being to Kadosh Baruch Hu if necessary, under those circumstances. And the Rishon allows us to give a korban instead, as a kapora, for my chet. Okay. So he says that the truth is, but that would apply even to the Kamanos of the Dova, along those same lines as the Ramban, etc. That's really what the Ben Yonah is doing for us. In between, he says in the paragraph, the second paragraph over here, on page 587, or hey, if you look at the bottom or top. So, same with the Kamanos, it says, I didn't notice that the Warm Out Sarap Shat. I want to add another thought over here to understand Kamanos. And he says two or three ideas over here. That because the idea we were saying before was to give something that you would feel you're giving as if you were trying to give up your being. So we davke have to give from things which person has a strong, they're important to him and he has a desire for them. Kadbosser, yayin, pas, kishisar alev, yerser ima esik behem. This is what he's constantly thinking about food. What does he think about all day? He thinks about, when am I going to get my next food? He's starving. And he takes that and gives it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Bekorban HaBehemus Mitzad HaDimyon. Okay? There's another point by animals specifically. Shekub Adam HaBehema Yidim HaBechol Yenayim. Animals are very similar to man in many ways. What's the difference? The Bereshit gave mankind a ability to think, right, and to understand different than an animal. But the bodies are the same, right? So now, but did you use your intelligence? Did you use your understanding when you did the chet? No. So that moment, you're a behemoth. There's no difference in the two. You accept the fact that you used your intelligence. Well, you didn't use your intelligence, so what are you doing with the behema? Therefore, take an animal, take someone which is just like you. You're the same as him. There's one place in the world which is the greatest strengthening of seichel is, or the value of the greatness of seichel is the mikdash. That's the makom where all the Torah was given. That's the Sanhedrin Gadol. This is the place where the whole message is that there's a higher existence above the physical. So you need to go over there. Give up that idea of give the body away. And redefine yourself as seichel. Don't define yourself as a body. So that's what's happening when you bring the korban. That's what he suggested to.
Perfect.
Very, very nice thought. Okay. Now there's a famous Rambam, which I'm not gonna, it's really hard to do it inside. Now they quote the Rambam about korbanos. So the next page 588. 589, and then two pages from the Mer Nebuchim. So there really are two points that the Rambam says vis-a-vis Kavanas. The Rambam seems to diminish Kavanas to a very, very minimal type of an idea. They're not a primary concept, they're a secondary concept. The Rambam says really the perfect about Kadosh Baruch Hu is tefillah, is talis, tefillin, you know, those type of things. Kavanas really has two functions. Number one, Klai Yisrael was raised in a world where the natural thought process of how you serve your Getchka, your Avodah Zorah, was to bring a korban. So that's how Klai Yisrael perceived Avodah. And to ask Klai Yisrael to abandon that totally would just leave them totally uncomfortable that they would not be able to. I mean, theoretically, we should have abandoned Kavanas totally. There's no need for kabbalas intrinsically. It's what Rambam seems to say. But doing that would be the equivalent of nowadays we would have a Navi Emes would come to us and say, listen, Hashem has no interest for you davening. Davening is worthless. Just don't do any davening.
Free time.
We would push it, be uncomfortable. Because we're so used to the idea of the way we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through davening. If we would be told that that's not an option, that's irrelevant, it's a waste of time, we couldn't handle that. So Klai Yisrael being told that, you know, there's no union of Kabbalists, they couldn't handle that. So as the Baruch Hashem making an overture to the weakness of mankind, the Baruch Hashem let us have Kabbalists.
What about the Reach Nichoach?
That's the first thing the Rambam seems to say. The Rambam says, number two, when we take the animals, which are in many cultures, especially in Mitzrayim, where that was the Avodah Zorah itself, and we bring that as the korban to Hashem, it helps us to eradicate our desire for Avodah Zorah from our being. Those are two thoughts the Rambam says. So the problem of the Rambam is, you know, the problems of the Rambam are many. So if you go to the page, the Ramban has a long piece where he gets very upset at the Rambam. So it's on page 593. To the point that he says, they're divrei havoi, they're words of like of foolishness. Like that's how gentle he is with the Rambam on this piece. He just says that, you know, so he quotes the Rambam, he says, the divrei havoi, irapu, shever gadol, So Yashar Shulchan Hashem Megul comes out that the Bereshim's table, as it were, the Mizbeach, is dirty. Like, you know, it's all it is just a way to, like, get out, you know, the Avodah Zarah out of our being. It has no purpose at all. He says, so how are you going to explain? Okay, next page. V'hinei Noach, but it's the top of the page. Noach says, I'm in the table, im shloshes bonov, ein ba'alam kastio, which there's no people doing Avodah Zarah yet. But there were, but they're gone. He was makir korban. Havel brings a korban. Bilam Omer, Hashem is because Arachti about Parvam is Beach. Right. So the purpose is that Bilam's saying, "Well, you know, I got to stop doing about Azura. Like, you know, like really, I was Bilam's goal over there. Like, what's?" Blasher Kabbana says, "Kabbani Lachmi Lishai Reich Nichachi." Right. So how does it make any sense? The Rambam, the Pashut seems to be like so strange. Okay. So there are answers to the Rambam. The Ramban himself says that that's not Pshat. He says the Pshat is like the idea that to see the animal being given over and picture yourself as if it's happening to you. I think the Ben Yonah expands that much more. One answer, Rishi Reb Chaim told us a pshat in the Rambam, which is... So the Rambam stopped by listening. You see the people were serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, serving their Avodah Zarahs through giving kibbutz. So to ask us to stop the idea of Karbonus, it's going to leave us very confused, very empty. Okay? And we, by taking these animals, which were their Avodah Zarahs, and bringing them as a shkita to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that would negate the chashivas of Avodah Zarah in our minds. But let's say the first step. It says, so why were people bringing animals as Karbonus to their Avodah Zarahs? Like, one day, you know, if it's totally, there's no intrinsic logic to it, which is the way the Rambam seems to say at first glance. So why do people do it? Where'd it come from? If you tell me that there is an intrinsic logic towards giving a korban to that which you see as the power and the source, so then the kasha from Adam is not a kasha anymore. So Adam had that intrinsic desire. It was corrupted at some point in time. So what the Rambam is saying is not that there's no intrinsic logic behind it. There is intrinsic logic. And that's why Adam makes sense, and Noach makes sense. And that intrinsic logic is expressed at the idea of a rech nechoyach, of a desire to give of your being through the vehicle of a korban, like the Ramban says. But it became corrupted to the point that the logic should have been that don't use it anymore. The Rambam is saying, but that wasn't an option because it would be so confusing to us and we'd leave so empty, we didn't have that option. Not that intrinsically there's no value to korban. Because there would be no value to korban, it doesn't make sense that why are korbanos so common by Avodah Zarahs? If it's just a convention, like, you know, one guy said, you know, why don't we just take an animal and give it to the sacrifice to the Getchka? Like, where'd it come from? Like, oh, why not? Like, you know, like, you know, you know, it had to come from somewhere. So that's what he says. That must be the logic was there intrinsic in the Bria. It comes out that you know, the Rambam and the Ramban are not so far from each other, number one, right? And the Rambam is really addressing a totally different point than the Ramban. You know, that's what Shimon Chaim explained to the Rambam. To say it's clear in the Lashon of the Rambam, it's hard to say it's clear in the Lashon of the Rambam. The point is a very good point. It'll answer the Ramban's kasha. The Ramban clearly did not learn the Rambam like that. Okay. Just go to the last two pages. This is from the Keda. So, So he has a long rishis about the different pshatim explanations for the purpose of karbonos, etc., etc., etc. Fine. Elishani armor. Shainyan behem show the shav and mavur built the muskel. The muskel here is interesting. It's spelled. It doesn't mean being a sochel, not being a fool, which is interesting. Like if you think about it, the word for a sochel is a fool. The word for seichel is somebody's intelligent. Okay. Person needs food. The betzem, we're made of two parts. We're made from the physical goof and the spiritual neshama. Logic tells me that the neshama doesn't get anything out of the food. That's not true. The only way that the neshama stays connected to the body is through the food. There has to be something that the neshama is getting out of the food, which is why it allows itself to be connected to the body through the food. Okay? So once that's true, that there is a concept that mazon can give, a physical mazon can act as a vehicle to benefit the neshama as well as the goof. Can you hear me about the So there is a vehicle which allows not one individual person, but a nation together to strengthen their neshama. There's a physical process which will impact the neshama of the nation. We know that as the human being grows, there's this tremendous kayach of nefesh, which is taken from above. It's not based on the creation of matter, it's something beyond that, etc. So it's different in how it's created, where its source of creation is. It's also different in where it gets its sustenance. How do you allow the neshama to stay connected to the goof? It has to get sustenance. But that sustenance is different than the sustenance of a physical process. She says, "Omam zoyis hanefesh ahatzula haruchnius enemis panesis rak b'dor machshavim sichliim kilach mehem because she nisparsim." He went to the Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get sustenance from Ruchnius for 40 days, three times in a row. He didn't need anything. How does a human being live? The human being lives. The answer is the neshama can sustain the body, and there is ruchnius tikkun mazon, which the neshama can absorb. Okay. If when you eat or drink something, there's a certain amount designated for the neshama part of it. For example, im shatia sura shal mitzvah, shichav and al mitzvah satuyas besura ahi, or you do it the same, the mitzvahs, from mekashas amacholim, rechakos yisurim, lefidar chiatara, shichav al birchaseo, you do it because it's a way to make brachas. Alahase the goof, lavriya lama the sharas the neilakov, the tushios, atara, mahavoda. You eat in the way that it'll strengthen your body. You'll be able to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu better. Lotzis v'lobim b'chol davar shekdusha to be available to do mitzvahs. So you're careful, obviously, in what you eat and how you eat because you have a kavana. So all of these different things that you're going to do when you eat mitzvahs elements allow the food to sustain the ruchnius of the neshama. Kibamis hakavanas elo hanichbonus veruchnius Yamilu ha-nefesh ha-kayim mo'yosa. Ki kodesh ha-min ha-kodoshim tochal. So that makes your food that has a holy element, which gives the sustenance to the holy neshama. Hu'tam ki al-kolmo to be Hashem yich ya-adam. Because she's bar za-inyin kuloi, parashas ha-mon, fine. When you eat from a suda which the Talmud Chacham is taking from, he's transferred this food into Ruchnius. He's found a way to make the eating of the food a Ruchnius experience. So you're sitting there and mamish getting the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu through a chila. Okay. Now that he says in the next paragraph. So the same way that's true that a neshama can be feel connected and get sustenance through taking the physical process and adding a ruchniyistic element to it, the shkina, which is the presence of the of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Klal Yisrael as an umma, does the same thing. When we take the physical element and we add a ruchniyistic twist to it, it gives a sustenance which allows the chibur between the shechina and klal yisrael. Let me touch a michael shechina v'loy leuma. It's not a food. Raksha behetiv kavanasim behem. When we use the kabbanas with all of the beautiful thought process that the kabbanas is supposed to generate. So you can imagine how much ruchnius this physical thing represents right now. If you can do the Rabbeinu Yoina on that korban, that animal, it becomes so, there's so much ruchnius which is being generated in that animal. That ruchnius allows the shkina to exist in Klal Yisrael. And that's pshat that it's lechem for Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's pshat. It's a nachazur to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to connect, and you've created a vehicle which allows them to connect. That's the point that he adds. Okay. I want to modify something. Once I pointed out to you, we talked about the deal of achila and Shabbos. And I pointed out the basic mikdash was very physical. It was quiet. It was extremely physical. There was blood. There was parts of animals. There was demurim with the fats. It's an extremely physical place, right? So at first glance, that you go to a slaughterhouse and it's very hard to picture ruchnius, right? But you can picture even in a slaughterhouse you make a bracha, right? You do this with the care to make sure the animal's kosher. You make sure that you remove the chela, which is usher to eat, and the veins, which are usher to eat. You cash out all of the dam. The Russian gave us a way to take something which is very physical and make it mitzvah, make it kedusha. And so at the simplest level, the Russian created a vehicle to take the physical things and do mitzvahs with them, of karbonas. That itself is kedusha. But when you insert the Rebbeinu Yoina into the picture, and you can picture. Remember one time I did this really on just picture the experience of bringing a korban had to be life changing. The person would bring a korban and then do whatever the Benyana said, and just push it, he would walk away with such a kesher to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is all getting involved in before you touch even the Ramchal. Ramchal has a long arichas about the kavanas of the Kabbalah that the Kahanim had when they're marking the kavanas. It's not even touching the Kabbalah part of it. So it's a fascinating thing that the Saif Dabra called Nishma, that the Bershom, but the Afka wanted to use a world of Gashmias as the vehicle for Ruchnias. It's not, we have this, nice, quiet ashram when everybody sits there and contemplates the greatness of the Creator. Right? Now, Rashi could have made a world like that. The Chiddush of the Bria is that something which seems to be not Kedusha is Kedusha. That Seichel can be Kaddish, that the Ruchnius can be Kaddish, we get that. that physical things are kaddish, it's not necessarily, you know, it's not, the Welt doesn't get it. That we can take physical things and make them kedusha and make them a vehicle for something of greatness. That's the chiddush. That's the chiddush of the Torah. And you know, and I've just I just end up with one thought. I remember I had this thought one time. There's a famous guy, and the guy said before he was nifter, he started crying. So what was he crying about? The Vilna Gaon was, you know. He's saying that in leaving a world that for a few kapukas and for a few pennies, I can go buy a pair of tzitzis, put on tzitzis in Mekai Mitzvah, which is shkula, kolot harkula. It's a world where you can't get any more of that. That's what he said. So I'm not holding on with the Madrega of the going. But I remember one time I had the following thought. A person came and asked me for a tzedakah, and I gave him $1. And I think to myself, you know, that dollar just became eternal. Because it's a mitzvah now. So this dollar was changed from an extremely physical thing, like money, like the tray for money, into something which is eternal. It has no limits. It's infinite. There is the reward of a mitzvah. And it's ruchnius. I said, isn't it such a beautiful world we live in that we can take something which is, it's a dollar, it's a gross of mice. It says, I go into a store and I buy a present for somebody. A dollar, you know, they have a little, you know, little poem over there, you know, on a piece of, you know, a little piece of plastic. And I give it to somebody and I put a smile on their face. And I did a chesed for another human being. I took something which is totally physical and made it into ruchnius. That would have been such a beautiful world that we can do that. The Russian made it's available all the time. Every moment, we can just take things which are wood, stone, nothing, and make them into something beyond this world. If you think about it a little bit, just a mind-changing, mind-boggling thing just to think about.